I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we are chatting The Idea of You by Robin Lee.
Are you ready? Lauren.
Cheryl.
I loved this book.
This book was one that got me back into reading.
And
I look back, it's been almost a year that I've read this book and just reread it for the second time.
I think that you reading it, recommending it to me, is what got me back into reading this kind of genre.
I'm honored that you did that. I did get a lot of my friends. I did get a lot of my friends hooked on this book. And it's so funny because everyone's reaction is the same. And they immediately text me and they were like, this book wrecked me.
Yes. In the best way, though.
In the best way. And then usually comes, why can't they be together? I just had someone else say this to me, too. And I said, because they can't. They can't be together.
No, that's not the story.
Right? Do you want to give a little rundown for those? I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you've read the book. But
just in case.
Just in case.
And also you're listening to see if you want to read the book.
And also just to refresh our memory, do you want to give a little summary of what this is about?
Yeah. So The Idea of You is a story. It's a love story. It's not a romance. The Idea of You is about a woman, Solène Marchand, who's 39 years old. She's very successful. She's a divorced mother of a 12-year-old girl. She owns an art gallery. She's beautiful. She's sophisticated. And she ends up taking her daughter to a concert in Vegas because her ex-husband backs out. So she gets kind of roped into taking her daughter and her friends to a concert of a very, very popular boy band. They go to a meet and greet for the band, and one of the band members falls for Solène, and actively pursues her, and we get this sort of dream fantasy tryst, series of trysts that turn into a real, true, actual love story. Mm. The big hitch is that Hayes, the boy band member, is 20 years, nearly, let's be accurate, he's 19 years younger than Solène, which presents some problems.
Some challenges.
In their relationship.
Yeah. As you can expect. It's not a happily ever after.
It isn't. And you know, the first time when you recommended it and just said it was an amazing book, I didn't know anything about it. The book's been out since 2017, but I hadn't heard of it before.
Its popularity kind of only just happened.
Yeah, I feel like it's really, I mean, I think I had just heard of it around the time that you recommended it, and that was enough to make me go and pick it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm seeing it everywhere. So I think it really has skyrocketed in popularity. If you haven't read it, go and pick it up because it's definitely worth your time.
It's a unique story because I feel like we haven't at this point, I've read quite a few books, right? I got back on the reading train, you know, and I've been reading. And I haven't read a story like this one. I just feel like it's so unique for what it is. And it really does challenge you to think, what would you do if you were in this position? And I think that's something important to chat about. And now that we've read it, Cheryl and I chatted before recording this. And when I did my second reread, I messaged her and was like, I am seeing, you know, it's so different reading it a second time because you know how the story ends. And I literally marked it throughout this entire book, all of the moments Solène showed insecurities in their relationship. And seeing that, you kind of know how it's ending. Already, you know what I mean? Like you go back and you're like, okay, so we know they don't end up together. But now you see, even from early on, it was never going to be a successful relationship.
That's right. It's all laid out there from the very beginning. Exactly. Like I didn't have that preconceived notion that it wasn't going to end in a happily ever after. But the second time, just like you, the second time I went through it, those crumbs were there right from the start, right from Solène's lips. It's just lunch.
Yes.
You know, it's just lunch. And then we get towards the end of the book, it was only supposed to be lunch.
Right.
Of course, it turned into so much more. But the whole time, you know, Selene is this beautiful, accomplished woman, but she still has this insecurity about, you know, dating this 20-year-old, very popular worldwide sex symbol and essentially a, you know, boy band / rock star. And she doubts herself, or she doubts that this could ever be something that is long lasting right from the very beginning. This could never be a forever story.
Because of the age.
But why is that? Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like Selene is 39 when the book starts. They're together for, this goes over about a year. So she's 40 when it ends. So he's 20 and then 21. And, you know, if we flip that script and had, you know, older male with a younger female, that happens all the time.
Yeah, I know. It does. And no one would even say anything.
They wouldn't. I mean, even in this book, her ex-husband, Daniel, mm-hmm. Is dating and then marries someone who is about 10 years younger.
Right.
But he keeps referring to Hayes as a kid. Right. And you've got to stop dating this kid. And what are you thinking about? And what will people think?
Yeah. You're going to destroy our daughter, blah, blah, blah. All of those things that he keeps saying. Mm-hmm. I think now I'm not 40 yet, but I'm getting up there, right? I'm turning 36 very shortly.
It's going to be okay. I've done it. It doesn't hurt that bad.
I know. I thought my 30s, I was like, oh, I'm 30. But my 30s have been the time of my life. So I can
only imagine how great 40s. It gets better.
Yes. But, you know, I shared this with you as well. Like, I just had my lady appointment, you know, my annual. And that my OB pulls me in and he's like, okay, so, you know, you're going to be 36. We have to start discussing things. You're kind of in this like age range now. And I'm like, man, like, you know, like I wasn't feeling old walking in here, but you basically just told me like my eggs are drying up. You know what I mean?
It's right.
And so I think like, you know, mid to late 30s, pushing 40, you're kind of going through this, well, Selene anyway, is like redefining herself, right? She's
yes.
divorced, but she's still, you know, this super sexy woman. She's got an awesome job. She's incredibly mm-hmm. smart. She's a mom. She's an amazing mom. And, you know, she has needs just like we all mm-hmm. do. And, you know, she deserves happiness too. But we chatted this too. When you're a mom, it kind of adds a whole other element to things.
It really does. It really does. So
yeah. And that's where I think this book could not have ended any other way, personally, mm-hmm. as a mom myself. Because if I was to put myself in her shoes, I would always choose my child before mm-hmm. my own happiness in mm-hmm. this particular scenario. Like this isn't, mm-hmm. you know, I said this before as well, like this isn't, okay, well, mom needs to take 30 minutes of the day to get her exercise in because, you know, I need to put myself first. No, this is like a huge thing. And we see how social media plays into this. Isabel mm-hmm. is a 12-year-old, you know, and that's a very
vulnerable age.
Yeah, a very vulnerable age. Now you add the social media piece. And quite frankly, I can't imagine my child seeing what she saw. I mean, I'm just thinking the boat scene.
Right, the boat scene.
I would
and the things that
my,
no,
my child.
Thank you.
Photos of my lover going down on me on a boat.
No,
like all over.
Although you know, empowerment of female sexuality. And
yes,
how great,
but I, you know,
how great is it that that's what was captured?
Yes,
and not
for
opposite.
Sure, for sure. I'm all for that. But I think it's just, you know, explaining
completely
that to your
agree.
Daughter.
And not only just that that's out there in the world, but it's coming into Isabel's personal life, right? Her
right.
friends are bringing it up. People at school yeah. are bullying her about it.
Yes.
The guy she has a crush on makes a comment
yes.
about it to her. You know, it's becoming more than something that they can just ignore that's outside of them, right? It's having
right.
direct impact
exactly.
on her. Let me tell you the story of me when I was probably about 17 years old, 18 years old. So right out of high school, I was working at a grocery store and we would often team up. So like I was like the bagger mm-hmm. and I would work with the cashier.
Too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I remember this one girl that I worked a lot with. She was a mom of two. And at one point she said to me something like, oh, I would, you know, I would die for my kids. And, you know, if we all, you know, fell off a boat or something, then I would be so mad if my husband saved me instead of the kids. Mm. At that time, I had no perspective of what that meant. I was like, really? But that's like, he's your husband. It's like the love of your life. Like if you had to choose, wouldn't you choose him? And oh my gosh, give me like 5 years perspective on that. Yeah. And I cannot even believe that I ever, that ever even entered my mind.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you, it flips a switch, you know, as much as you think you know what it is to be a parent, it just literally changed something inside of me. Mm-hmm. That I couldn't even really describe to someone. I think it sounds trite and cliche to anybody that isn't a parent, but it's really true. Like I
remember
would do
that moment
anything for my for kids.
Me. Yeah, no, I remember that moment when I remember when that switch flipped for me, and I remember saying that to my friends who hadn't had children yet. Out of my very close group of friends from that I grew up with, went to high school with, I was the first. Well, I can't say the first, but. You know, my
among the first,
and my two very close ones had gotten married much later. I also got married what I consider to be young for my group of friends, right? I was 23. I had my oldest when I was 27, and I was working as a nurse, as you were working as a nurse too.
Yes, I was.
And I remember when I had to go back to work after I had my son, nothing was as important to me as my son. Nothing. It was like work was no longer at the top. He was at the top. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And I remember saying to my friends, something changes in you. You can't explain it, but suddenly nothing else matters as much as your children.
Right.
Especially when they're little itty bitty baby. You know what I mean?
It's, yes.
And so I didn't volunteer for going on call as much as I used to. Like, I definitely pulled back in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my coworkers who had not had a child yet got frustrated with me because I couldn't take a patient after hours. It was someone who lived around the corner from me. I was literally in the middle of doing something with my son. It was, you know, she was the one on call. But I had lived near this patient. And so I was in home care. And she was like, I don't understand. Why can you not just go? And I'm like, you don't understand because you're not a mom. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. I'm literally in the middle of doing something. Like, I can't just up and leave anymore. And quite frankly, he comes first. You know, it's I'm right. not on the clock. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I remember that exact moment, though.
It's funny. And what's interesting about that is it doesn't become... It almost the way we're talking about it, it almost sounds like it, but it does not become your entire personality. All it does is like all these other pieces of us are still so important, right? Like our relationship with our partner, if we have one, with our friends and other family in our life, our professional goals, whatever we have for interests and hobbies, those things are all still a part of us. I just see it as like a reshuffling, right? Like
the
one that was on the top moves down a couple steps. Just things shuffle in what is so important. So in this story, we have a woman who is successful and amazing, but has not been romantic with anyone since her divorce.
3 years.
So 3 years. Yeah.
A long time.
It is a long time. And so she's been kind of not forgoing, but that part of her personality
has just
moved down the rung. Yeah, down the rungs of the ladder a little bit. And when she meet Hayes and her sexuality becomes, what do we want to say, reawakened? It's like Stella got her groove back kind of thing. You know, she just realizes maybe that what she was missing. So she is a fully actualized, successful human being on her own. Her priority is her daughter and her career at the time we first meet her in the story. And then it starts to shift where Hayes has to fit in the mix as well. But I love about this story that no one is lacking, right? Like, even though she wasn't having that part of her personality wasn't active at the time that the story starts, it's still there. And she isn't like a half of a person waiting for this person to come and complete her, right? Like, you get those stories where it's like a romance where it's, you know, I was always waiting for you and together we make a whole and that kind of thing.
Right.
That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, no, she's her own person.
Yeah, this is the other way where we have two very successful people that are perfectly fine and happy on their own, and they almost don't realize what they're missing until they come together.
Right. Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah,
so really good way of putting it.
They become more together, but they're fine on their own, right? And even would say, she says that she's happy but whether she's being honest with herself about that, realizing what she, you know, wants that she doesn't have, I don't know. Because then she quickly starts to realize what...
It was just supposed to be lunch.
It was just supposed to be lunch.
But I think she, you know, again, going back, you see, going back and rereading, you see where, and this is what's so interesting, being in her 40s and being this strong, independent woman, really, because she is definitely insecure about this relationship. Mm-hmm. Whereas Hayes, who, you know, again, gets like this, you know, he's in the boy band and he's 20 and he's a lot younger, is not. And you have Hayes, who's almost trying to convince her to get out of her own head about it, right? And like, who cares? I think at one point, doesn't he say, like, who gives a fuck what everyone else thinks? Like, it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks, which is
just you and us, he says, right?
Yes.
It's just you and me in here and fuck everyone else.
Right. Which is interesting coming from the 20-year-old. You know what I mean? And she's more established. She got 20 years on him. And she can't get past it. So going through, I marked down like every part in the book where she shows that insecurity. And it's just so interesting going back, because you're like, yeah, this was doomed from the start, because she couldn't get out of her own head. And he consistently had to say, no, it's not. I chose you. Like, I, you know,
I wouldn't rather be anywhere else but this. She's like, you know, sorry, I'm preventing you from being with two women at this hotel right now. He's like, I don't, do you know me? Like, I don't want that. He's the first one who says, I love you. She's the one who says, don't go falling in love with me.
Right.
Over and over and over. And it takes a long time for her to admit to herself and then to him that she is in love with him too. This is real. It's kind of like a fantasy, you know, like the,
I mean, she didn't even, that's one part I marked down. Like she didn't want to, it's almost like she didn't trust him enough to not use a condom, right? At that one scene. And then she's like, I'm trusting you, you know, but it's, to me, it was almost like a, I mean, again, safe sex, yes. But like, it was almost a sad conversation, right? But like that even had to be, that's what came up, right? Like you're in a band. You know, like, can I trust you? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's...
Right. So she's assuming what his actions are when he is not with her. And that gets kind of put in her head by her business partner, another amazing, successful, gorgeous woman, Lulit, who says, you know, you go for it. Go have fun with this beautiful young man. But you know there's others, right? And she hadn't thought of it until that point. And then I feel like she can't get it out of her head after that. And she's right. Like, he does agree. You know, he says there's no one else right now. And she's like, well, what does right now mean? Like, today? This week? Yeah. And he's like, well, this month? And she eventually tells him that, you know, after a few of their encounters, the book is broken down into different locations that they meet up in around the world. Which I love. I love that.
Yeah, I love that
format.
Too.
After a few of those meetups, she says, you know, I'm not inclined to let this go on much longer without you making a choice, basically choosing to be monogamous.
Right.
Together.
Which is fair.
Which is totally fair. And so he does, and he makes that choice and really, you know, demonstrates it.
He drives
Yeah, he demonstrates it in a dramatic way on the dining room table.
That mid-century furniture.
Yes.
I'll never look at it the same.
It's funny when that scene is happening and she's looking at the table and it like runs through her head because it's a mid-century piece. She's like, I wonder if this table has seen this kind of action before.
Yeah, right. What has it seen in its time? Very descriptive scene. Lots of sound happening there.
I love it. But it's, you know, there's also another time where Hayes says to her, you know, you're getting hung up on this idea of what other people think.
Yes.
You know, like what is it about me being 20, you know? And he starts to get a bit insecure. He's like, is it that, like, can I not follow the conversation with you? Or is it that I didn't go to university? And she's like laughing at how ridiculous that is.
Yeah.
That isn't it. But like, really, what is, he's an adult.
Right.
He's probably a more mature adult than 99% of 20-year-olds, because he's lived this incredible life even before his band. So he's a very posh boy. He's from a very well-off family. He went to fancy schools. He's traveled the world. He's very well educated. He's her equal in so many ways. And he has lived a life longer than his 20 years. Like, I feel like he's like a 30-year-old in a 20-year-old's body.
Right. He's very wise for his. I have my book open to that exact part. That's one part that I mark because I just found that whole like dialogue back and forth between them interesting because she says, like, I'm entirely too old for you, Hayes. And he's like, you know, he's like, what do you mean? Like, you know, we have fun together, don't we? Like, we can hold conversation. Do I have a problem with this? You know, and she's like, no. And then he says, like, I think you care what other people might be thinking or saying, and that's what's fucking you up. And then she asks, like, how do you not care? And I love this line by him. He's like, do you know how much shit gets said about me? Do you know how many fucks I give? Zero. And then he goes into showing her on social media everything that is said about him. And I think he, you know, being 20, he has had to grow up quickly in that sense, because that is hard when you read things about yourself on social media. And he's had to learn to not give a shit, right?
Yes.
But she probably has, I mean, I don't think so, right? Has never been in that kind of limelight before and has never had to experience those hateful words.
Not to that extent. Yeah. Right. I mean, she's a gallery owner, so she's probably done like press and she's you know, familiar with it in a small sense, but not like that. I mean, nobody almost has had that experience, what Elise has had.
Right. So I think that's, she definitely lets that, especially when those things, when they start tracking her down on social media, right? And all of that. And then
And it becomes actual harassment.
Yeah, right.
You know, they vandalize her place of work. Yeah. They're sending dildos and terrible messages to her home. That's when it really, you know, as much as Hayes has this sort of idealistic view, it's not his fault at all. No.
That's what's sad. None of that's his fault.
No. And he has this, I do think he has an idealistic view of like, well, I just have this policy of not commenting on my private life and then, you know, they can't affect it. But, you know, that's not so true from maybe for him, because he is the object of the fandom's affection. But for her, it's not the same. And I wonder, you know, this isn't the story that was told, but I kind of wonder, like, what if Hayes had spoken up? What if Hayes had said to his fandom, you know, this is inappropriate. Like, you... I love this person, you know, look at what you're doing to her daughter, you know, some way of coming up with some way of saying that and making it public. Because Selene even recognizes that the downside of his policy of not commenting on his private life is that he'll never come defend her virtue, quote unquote. He's not going to stick up for her because he would be commenting on it, right?
Right. That's true. This actually, this reminds me of one of our favorite celebrities where they actually did have to.
I know where you're thinking.
I know. We won't name drop, but it's a similar situation, right?
Right.
I mean, and he did actually have to publicly come out and be like, please stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really,
because the significant other was getting
harassed
online.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be scary. I mean, that's not in this world, the world we live in now, where it's, you know, everything is accessible to everybody, but it could come home so easily, right?
And
like,
it did
you don't
for
know
her.
Which, and it did for her. Which of those people is, you know, a 13-year-old girl throwing out some hate above her age online or sending a package? And which ones are actually capable of harm?
Doing harm. And that's where I think, again, it's not just her. If she didn't have Isabel, the story might be different. But she does have Isabel. That changes things. And that's where, you know, initially, reading the book, you're like, how can they not be together? But then when you really start to dissect it and think about it, I would have done the same thing because that's not, to me, even if I loved this man so incredibly much, unfortunately, that's not going away. Right.
No, and now it's the insurmountable obstacle.
Right. And if it was just her, okay. But it's not. It's her daughter. Mm-hmm. And who knows how much worse that could get. So as much as I would love, you know, more Solen and Hayes, I think the story just has to end this way. And I know maybe people won't agree with me, but maybe after hearing our perspective and, you know, it makes everyone maybe just a little more okay with how it ended, right?
Yeah. Like I can sort of imagine that if this book had come out before I was a mother and, you know, I thought about, even in my 20s, I knew and I recognized that the society we live in values men way longer than women. Like I remember saying to my husband when we were in our 20s, it's not fair that you're going to get like gray hair and you'll be all like hot and distinguished and I'm going to look old.
I just had this conversation with my husband because he's just turned 43 and he's got a lot more grays coming in and in the beard and all that. And he's like, oh, there's so much gray hair. But I feel like he can rock that salt and pepper look. Whereas, right? You know, I don't think it's, unfortunately, it's like for some reason not as accepted.
And that's the key, right? Like you can rock it too. I'm sure of it. I'm trying to rock it now.
I also joke with him too. I'm like, here I have my like 85 step skincare routine. Yeah,
that's right.
He uses the same soap on his face that he does on his balls.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can't. Yeah,
it's such a strange double standard, right? And it's been around forever. I think books like this are so important because this is how it's going to change, right? Like people talking about it and realizing, I hope it's different now than it was 30 years ago. But this idea that, you know, a woman is most attractive, especially sexually, before they're a mother. But it's like, really? I mean, how else did they get to be mothers? You know,
right.
Like, and that is not stopping, you know, like if we look at a film with an older male character, they're depicted as like, think of like a George Clooney or the characters he plays. He's very much still sexually attractive. He will get portrayed in his prime. He's not like playing the just a dad role or, you know, or the grandpa role, really, you know, he can still be the leading man. But then you look at an older woman who's portrayed as sexually active and we get like Stifler's mom.
yeah
right, it's like the older woman, an older man, you know, with a younger woman is attractive. I mean, and we see that trope in all romance books all the time.
Oh yeah.
But an older woman is a cougar,
right?
Or you know, it's like it's creepy, it's less acceptable. And why the hell is that?
I know, it's really not. Gosh. And even just talking about this, I there was a person in my life, I guess, shame on me, I'm going to apologize right now that this is what I did think, right? Because this book has definitely changed my views on some stuff, right? This is what it's good to read about. I do know someone who did something similar to this, actually married.
Oh.
Yes, someone significantly younger. And I remember at the time thinking, what?
Right?
But I
think it's just like, it's just, we're brainwashed to think that way.
That's exactly it. It's unfortunately that society does that to us. And listen, they're completely happy. Like, I'm very happy for them right now. You know what I mean? This was years ago. But yes, it is sad that that is what society puts in your head. Because again, who else would put that notion in your head?
No.
You know what I mean?
Just,
like,
we're just conditioned
that's something learned. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way. And it is sad that that's, again, in this book, it's not the age gap for me, like, right, like that's not the reason this couldn't happen, right? Like for me, it's what was happening with Isabel, right, her daughter, and like that, you know, it's those things.
Do you think that is happening because of the age gap? Like if you look at there's one other character in the book, Oliver, who has a long-term girlfriend, she's not getting hate.
No,
but
yes,
she's,
I do. I
she's
think it's society, right?
Age appropriate, right? So if, you know, anytime like the unnamed celebrity that we talked about it a minute ago who had to publicly come forward to defend his partner at the time, I think, you know, for a figure like Hayes Campbell that has, you know, millions of adoring fans, there's probably going to be hate for whoever he's with.
For sure. But which is the same.
But it was so intense, I think, because of this different situation, right? And it brings in that whole, you know, what does she say? There's one part where she actually gives in to Googling herself and their relationship and seeing what everybody actually is saying about them. And she said that the line that sticks with her is Stellan Marchand, mother fucker. Like as distinct identities, you know. It's just
And it's and it is society that did that to them, right? Because if she if that wasn't the case, then it probably wouldn't have been that way. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's just, I just want to make it clear, like the reason, you know, for me anyway, it had to end this way, not because of their age difference. It's not the age difference, right? Like, I think we want to make that clear because really age is just a number and you should be able to be with whoever you want as long as it's legal. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he's legal. So, you know, it had to end this way, I think. And I would do the same thing in this situation personally because of how it started to affect her daughter. Mm-hmm. And as a mom to me, right? What would you do?
Oh, I'd have to make the same choice.
Right.
And it would tear my guts out like it does for
it
her.
For
and
her.
She
right.
she has to break her own heart and Hay's heart. Mm-hmm. But she didn't really have another choice. But it's interesting because, yes, that is definitely, I think, ultimately Isabel, or the effect on Isabel is why they can't be together. But that's not how it starts out, eh? Like, she doesn't know that that's going to happen, that the fans are going to get that intense and intrude on her personal life. At the beginning, it is the age gap that makes her think that they can't do this.
Right. The other thing, too, to bring up is, I can't remember if we said it in this one or the other. So if I did already, I say this, I apologize. Isabel's 12. She's vulnerable. She's at a really tough age. Like, I remember being 12, and it's a difficult age. You're going through so much.
I mean, she gets her first period, like, during her mom's, the story.
Exactly.
And her mom's away with Hayes.
Yeah. Yeah. She gets her first period. Her parents are divorced. I come from a divorced family, so I relate to her in that sense. She's got her dad who is marrying someone else. Now that someone else is pregnant, and now she finds out her mom is, you know, banging her literal favorite person. Like, and I think Hayes finally realizes that, right? Like, the magnitude of that when he does show up at her home, right? And sees Isabel's bedroom and is like, Oh,
she has like framed pictures. Yeah. Of me.
He's like, oh, I see. We're
in a mess. This is going to get bad, isn't it?
So I think, you know, to be 12, it's a, you know, there's hormones. There's a lot going on at that age. And so, it's just hard. You know, there's so many things.
Do you think that if Selene had told her about it from the start, it wouldn't have changed the things, I think, that would have happened eventually? But there was sort of a, you know, when it did come out and she found out, not from her mom telling her, but from seeing them making out in the driveway, that went very badly.
Yes.
Do you think that if she had actually been open about it from the start, that maybe Isabel would have been more accepting?
I don't know about more accepting, but I do think that I think honesty is always the best policy. And I think it didn't help anything.
Yeah.
If anything, it made it worse. Right. So I can't say Isabel would have been like, my mom's going to get out dating Hayes Campbell. You know what I mean? But I think a conversation, she's 12, right? She's not 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think a conversation should still have been had. Mm-hmm. But again, she was kind of stuck, like, Solène, you know, like, what do I do? What do I do? How do I, you know, how do
And
this?
Hayes was telling her over and over, like, he's like, so what did she think? And she's like, well, I haven't told her yet.
Right. And that's what's so interesting is, again, Solène is 40. She's got 20 years on Hayes. And Hayes, in this relationship, is the more mature one, right?
In that way, right?
Like, he's like, no, we need to say something to her. And for her to find out in that way is damaging, you know, to her at 12. You know, my mom didn't tell me and I had to find out by seeing it. And now it's everywhere. I think some damage control could have been done if a conversation was had early on.
Yeah. And because once
we're just,
once she finds out and that there's that initial like, that week, that week of what does she say? Like listening to Taylor Swift songs nonstop.
Yeah, refuse to speak.
Shredding the photos of him and them together. After that, it actually ends up. It goes very well when it is just them, right? Like Hayes comes over and is, you know, he's so good with her.
He is.
You know, he's like, I think Selene says at one point, like, can you picture being her, like, being a stepfather? And he's like, I have been picturing it.
Yeah.
Like, he's very good. He's like, you know, I really love your mom, or I really like your mom. And
but this, to your point, not to cut you off, but to your point, how you said that he doesn't comment on his personal life, right? Like, had they just, I think things could have gone very differently had the conversation been had earlier on and Isabel didn't have to find out that way. And also, if he did comment on his private life, you know? So really, just kind of makes you think, you know what I mean? Like, had he said, this is what it is, and leave them alone, you know? Like, what could have happened?
Right. And being more open with it because, you know, a lot of his fan base is the 12, 13-year-old girls, right? So right. if they're seeing someone like themselves potentially being hurt, is that going to, I don't know if they're self-aware enough at that age to realize that, like, oh, I'm actually hurting, like, this girl. I don't know if that, but yeah, it's impossible to know. But anyway, that's not the story we were
right.
told.
Exactly. That's not how the story went. It is fun to chat. Like,
what it is fun. It's fun to play though, around.
You know,
with. I think that when an author creates a world that is so, it's so real. Like, I read this book, again, like we said, not knowing it wasn't a happy ending, but it's a wonderful, beautiful love story while it's happening with this incredible, virtually perfect man mm-hmm. and this incredible woman who is ambiguous enough that you can, I can picture myself as her.
Right.
Although she's way cooler than me. That's, the, it becomes so real. And I feel that, that those characters are real, and it broke my heart at the end.
Yeah.
And I had a bit of a book hangover afterwards as well.
Oh, same.
And just going like over and over, just like even now thinking about it, I've now read it. I've read the text 3 times, I think, and listened to the audiobook 2x. And
wow, look at you.
I get obsessive, Lauren.
You do. You do. But you know what? I don't think you're alone there. I think this is a book. I mean, there's literally a Facebook group devoted to this book, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting because usually we see these huge followings with books like Harry Potter, ACOTAR, as we've been talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Outlander. We're Outlander. Very familiar with the Outlander yes, fandom.
You know, but these are usually books that have, that they're a series, right? And it's ongoing and mm-hmm. there's so much. This is literally just one book and one yeah. story, and the following around it is
not. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And there's usually
shirts. There's August Moon shirts. You have one, don't you?
I it's on order.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew you would.
Yeah, it's great. I'll show you once I get it. But yeah, most of those ones have been adapted, right? So the right. fan base has increased because it was a book and the book had fans, or the book series had fans, and then it was adapted for a screen of some sort and that fan
like
base
Outlander.
Grew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Outlander is a perfect example, you know. The fan base, even when it was just books, I was in that fandom. Mm-hmm. And
or even
it was,
Game of Thrones.
It was intense. Yeah, there's another good example.
Yep.
But then once you get the adaptation, it kicks it up a notch. I expect that's going to happen here too, you know.
Yes.
Because it has been optioned. It is in development for a
Woo-hoo!
Film.
Can't wait.
I can't wait either.
Praying that we get the table scene.
I'm so looking forward. Oh, the table scene. I even just like, you know, let's talk about some of the wonderful things about this book, because we really dove into like the intense and deep
yes. yeah.
things. But the sex scenes in this book are fantastic.
So fantastically written.
They're not gratuitous. Like I think every single one of them that we get serves a purpose. They're very much, it's not like a, you know, book you read. It's not exactly a slow burn, and it's not like a, you know, chapter one.
It's definitely
first date
not a slow
night.
Burn.
You yeah. know, it's neither of those. It's like it's the progression of a natural relationship, really, right? Like someone cuts
yeah.
you dry, you start talking to them. You know, this happens, and the intimacy grows. Mm-hmm. But it's very frank. It's very open. It's not. There's not a lot of euphemisms in there, right? Like it's mm-hmm. not. You know, you're not getting like the apex of my thighs or
my
you know,
sex.
I
know. Anytime I read a book where it says like, oh, he, you know, touched my sex, I'm like, can we just
yeah.
what?
Can we just say a word?
I don't know.
Or like mound. He cupped my mound.
My
things
mound.
Like that. I'm just like, yeah. oh man.
I know.
Like this one uses words. It uses not words that maybe everybody, you know, everybody has different preferences for how frank you like things to be.
Sure.
But yeah, this book is, I wouldn't say it's graphic, but it's explicit. Like it's play by play. We know what's happening. We get, you know, this is the position. This is where they're at. These
it's also her point of view, this whole book, too.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't get Hayes' point of view.
We don't. That would be another interesting spin, wouldn't it? But
that would be. Huh. Robin, if you're yeah. listening. That would be an interesting second part. I would
it
love
would be.
Hayes'
it would be.
Point of view. But yes, yeah. we do. We get her point of view in these mm-hmm. scenes. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's also, she is 40. She's more mature. right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This isn't her first rodeo, you know, like it, no pun intended, but you know what I'm saying? Like we're getting her.
There is some writing.
There is some writing, but we're getting her point of view in these sex scenes and there, and I feel like they're written that way. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, absolutely. Well, and so it's like how you would think about it in your own head, right? Cause she's not saying these things out loud. Well, sometimes they're exchanging things out loud, but it's just how, you know, people are sexual beings. Like you're.
It's how babies you are
know, right. Yeah, babies are right. Yeah, like, you know,
not all the time. I have, sometimes.
True. True. We should be inclusive.
Yes.
I read this book on my Kindle. Well, first on my Kobo, now on my Kindle, whatever. It was an ebook. And I highlighted things, just passages I loved. And I told you this before. I have 131 highlights in this book. Yeah. Like just phrases that were really beautiful, sentences, like the way that Robin crafted the sentences. It's almost, it's poetic in a way. Like there's almost from the beginning, there's like incomplete sentences, sentence fragments, but it's sort of like the way you would think in your own head.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. It's written that way. And I just love it. It just makes it so real.
That's what I love about reading an ebook, especially on Kindle. Cause I don't know if you could do it on like iBooks, but on my Kindle, I love that you could just like highlight quickly. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can do that on all my
devices. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's amazing. And then you can look back at it later.
Yeah. It saves it all, you know?
Yeah. So in this book, there were so many sentences, scenes that stuck out to me. I just was highlight after highlight after highlight. And sometimes it's just a little moment of humor that's inside a sex scene, which is also super realistic. Mm-hmm. I love that. And little, you know, flirtatious, the spars that they do back and forth. Like there's one line where Hayes is talking about how hard he's working and that they don't get a break and the management company and the record label are just pushing them, pushing them, pushing them. And he says, if they continue to stuff us down these fans' throats, they're bound to lose interest, right? He looked to me then, sincere. And she replies, I don't know. I kind of like having you stuffed down my throat.
Yeah. It's, I love their banter back and forth.
The banter is so good.
It's really good. And also I feel like very realistic. I mean, I don't know how things are with your husband, but like nothing serious with my husband. I feel like there's always some innuendo. There's always. I could literally say, oh gosh, I don't even know. I could like make a comment about a banana and that turns into something for my
husband.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just very like, you know, oh, I need to, I can't even like come up with an example right now, but you get what I'm saying. Like,
I totally get what you're saying.
My husband can literally turn anything into something sexual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, it just reminded me of that in the book, like very like easy back and forth banter.
And a beautiful thing about having a female writer writing sex scenes from the female perspective is that we're seeing it's often her who's making those kinds of comments. It's Hayes that's being all suggestive. It's her that says something. He's like, oh, did you just say that?
Like, so Len is someone I definitely want to hang out with. Like she's, I just feel like she would be really great to go out and have like a glass of wine with. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
I just love her. You know, the way they describe what she wears, she's very sophisticated. I love art. I love that, you know, that's what she loves to represent. And she just seems very worldly and like she'd be, and just like her sarcasm, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we could hang. And I loved that. I loved getting to know her in this book as well as Hayes. But again, we're getting her perspective. I can't remember where I heard that, but it was a book I read where it was like, you know, it's only written in her perspective, not meaning this particular book, but whatever other book I'm thinking about. So everything's from her. Oh, you know what it was? It was Colleen Hoover and Verity.
Oh. So
Colleen had said like, it's only written from Lowen's perspective.
Right.
Don't know what it would be if it was written from, you know, all the other perspectives. So it kind of makes you think like, well, this is her story.
Right.
There's like technically three sides to every story. You know what I mean? Like there's her story. I mean, there's his story and there's the truth. So really like this is just her story. So you know, it kind of gives you something else to think about, but I just loved this book so much. I highly recommend if you haven't reread it, it is really interesting to go back and reread when you know what's going to happen. And again, you can kind of see where it's breaking apart early on and you kind of see all those little signs of how this is not going to go as we really would love it to have gone. Right.
Yeah. Like,
you kind of see
I think
that.
she's almost she's heading into it with the brakes on, right? Like she can't help herself. Like they are so connected right from the start. They're so drawn together. Mm-hmm. They're like magnets, right? I think does she say that at one point? I think so. Like they're perfectly matched to be in this amazing relationship, but she is fighting it, right? Like she's like trying to diminish it. It's just sex. You know, it takes her a long time to admit that it's not.
Yeah. She can't let herself go with that, right? She can't just let herself be free there, you know?
Because she sees that it's going to end and she doesn't want to have that heartbreak. So she's envisioning the end before.
Yeah, almost like even she's protecting
herself. At the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or trying to protect herself and then falls in love with him anyway, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. She can't help it.
Yeah.
Like even if, you know, imagine that even if at the beginning she had never agreed to go out with him or she had gone out the once just for lunch. And then had never seen him again. Mm-hmm. Would her heart have been safer? Maybe, but I think she would have still thought about him forever.
I do too. I think in I think in some situations, it's, you know, you can, not even just pertaining to relationships, right? But I think, let's say this podcast, for example, do you know what I mean? Like, you can have an idea, right? Or you can say, like, you know, okay, yes, maybe I should try this, whatever it might be. But sometimes you just have to go for it, right? And then, and at least it's better. What is that saying? Like, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Yeah, you know what I mean? But like, it's so true with so many things in life. Like, you don't want to live your life thinking, what if? So
that's right.
And she probably would have if she didn't at least give it a try, right? And she still had this amazing relationship with him and all these amazing. Been to all these amazing places. You know what I'm saying? Like it was an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And she did fall in love and her heart did get broken, but at least she had that, right?
That's right.
So I think that can apply to so much in life, not just relationships, you know?
Yeah. You can't just be afraid of how it might fail.
Right.
You would never try anything.
Exactly. Exactly. If you just lived in fear and didn't just go for it, then
yeah.
You know?
I mean, dang, let's bring it back to motherhood again, right? Like, what's that expression that deciding to have a child is forever letting a piece of your heart walk around outside your body? You know, like the amount of things that can go wrong with creating, having, raising a child, like your heart is in danger forever.
Oh, forever.
Forever. Yeah. But we did it anyway, right?
Yeah. And I think even going back to this, right? Like, if you think of it like that, Isabel is a piece of her heart. And at the end of the day, it breaks her heart seeing Isabel's heart broken more, I think, than her letting Hayes go and breaking her heart that way, right? Like, that's a bigger heartbreak, seeing her daughter go suffering heartbreak through what she's having to experience with her mom, right? And you know, what all of that, then that's just a bigger heartbreak to me.
It's threefold, I think, even. It's like she has her own personal heartbreak. She has heartbreak for her daughter. And she also comments that, like, she has heartbreak because she broke his heart. So she's feeling for him, right?
Right,
like,
right.
It's
there's a lot of heartbreak.
but it's wonderful, really.
It is. It's a great book. You got to read it. But really, though, like, if you're listening to this, you've already read it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But, like, just, you know, again, I think going back to kids, like, I wouldn't want to do something like that would break. I mean, we're all going to upset our children, right? But, like, that's just, it's something so
no matter what we do.
Yeah. Right. We're not perfect. No one is. But it's, watch her heart breaking, watching her daughter's heart break. You know what I mean? Like it's
yes.
Yeah. So that's why I think that's why it had to end this way. Right. I know some people are gonna be like, no, but I really do believe that it is how it ended, but you know what I'm saying?
It is how it ended.
If you're like, no, it should have been another way. Like if you weren't happy with the ending, I really think this is just why.
Just rewrite it in your head. You can put them however you can imagine, like, you know, 1 year later or 5 years later, or 10 years later, whatever, that they find each other again and Isabel's all grown up and maybe he's not in the boy band anymore. Maybe he's acting and producing or something slightly less in the public eye. And there's a new sensation that the world is obsessed with.
Right.
So he can, you know, be a little more free to live his life the way he wants to without those repercussions. We can write that story in our heads if we want to. Mm-hmm. Not saying that I have, but I might have.
I mean, yeah, right. I think we've all rewritten, especially. I mean,
I added to. I don't want to rewrite, but I want to add to. Added to. Follow up. Epilogue.
Yeah, I just the amount of messages I get on this book. People are like,
yes,
oh, I'm so heartbroken. It stuck with me for weeks. I'm not the same after reading.
Oh my goodness! So we asked our community for thoughts about this book, and I would say it was like more than half had some kind of response to the ending and how it broke their heart and didn't end how they wanted it to, and et cetera, et cetera. But overwhelmingly loved it.
Oh yeah.
With and despite that.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, I personally, I do not know one person who didn't love this book, despite the not happy ending, right? But endings aren't always happy, you know?
And it's real life. It absolutely is. Yeah. And it doesn't make the story any less beautiful
that
it didn't, you know, they didn't ride off into the sunset. It's more realistic and therefore really, really beautiful. And I just like how it breaks the mold, you know, of... I love a happy ending book. We're going to discuss plenty of those on here.
Yes, for sure.
But this is a different kind of book, and I really, really, really appreciate what it is.
Me too. And it makes you think. It makes you have these discussions too, right? You know, I just,
there's so many different themes that the how women are perceived and the price of fame and, you know, the perspective of you as self versus you as mother, you as lover, all these different things. It's just, I feel like every time I read through it, I kind of, you know, the first time I read through it was just about like, okay, give me all that spicy scenes.
Oh,
you know, I love this guy. They're going to end up together. It's beautiful. Yeah. Yes. Women in their 40s can be powerful and sexual and get happy ending. And then I read the end. And then
it's like, what?
What? But
all you along, your own heartbreak. Yeah.
All along, she knew that like she deserved it, and yet she doesn't get to have it.
Yeah.
Because the other things are more important. But then I read it again. And then I, like you said, see that all those other bits. And then I read it again and I start to, you know, think more about being Isabel, or like look at Lulite and how it affects their business. You know, there's so many different, it makes me wonder about like the other boys, the other men, you know, what's happening in their lives. There's this whole other kind of plot line about Hayes and his friend Oliver that doesn't really ever get resolved. Like we don't find out all of the backstory there.
Right, right.
So I just find like every time I read it, I'm getting a little more and I'm not tiring of it.
Yeah. No, it's one of those, it's a book to definitely go back and reread if you haven't, because you do get other things from it.
And if we haven't,
we'll get the movie soon.
Hopefully we'll get a movie. And we haven't mentioned the audiobook yet, have we?
No.
If you have, if you've read it, maybe try listening to the audiobook next, because it's actually narrated by Robin Lee, by the author. So she knows what these characters are saying. She knows how they're saying it. She knows what tone is in their voice and where the pauses should be. And I kind of wish every author could do their own books.
Yeah.
You know, her being an actor, I think it's a unique kind of thing. Maybe most authors wouldn't be able to perform the accents the way she does and change the voices for the different characters. You know, I think that's her acting expertise coming through there. But I just think it adds something different to have the person who created the story tell you the story.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, I think that's... kind of wraps up our thoughts on The Idea of You, right? What do you think?
Yes. I think we could come back. I think we've already talked about this book for hours together, not together. On this podcast. We probably will talk about it more later. There's so many things that we could talk about. We could probably do a whole podcast on just the steam in this book.
For sure. For sure.
Or like, you know, how cool the art world is and all the references in there. There's so many different layers to it. But, you know, we'd be here all day. I think we'll have to give time for more stories instead.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us over on Instagram if you don't already. It's @litchicksread. And we'll definitely keep the discussion going over there, right?
Yep. We'll put up a little post for this episode and you can comment anything there. And our DMs are always open as well.
Absolutely. We'd love to hear what you think about The Idea of You by Robin Lee. So thanks for listening and stay tuned for next episode.